We're continuing our studies in the book of Galatians. And I want to read Galatians 1:16. This tells us one of the purposes of Paul as far as God's plans for his life. It tells us in verse 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen or Gentile. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul was to reveal his Son. He was also to reveal Jesus Christ, or to present Jesus Christ and him crucified. And there is a difference between revealing the Son and presenting Jesus Christ and him crucified. The plan of common plan of salvation is not a revelation in the sense that it does not have to be revealed to you. You have to hear it and believe it. But when it comes to the Son of God, he needs to be revealed. There's a difference between Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gentiles have always been able to be saved, just like Jews. But when Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel, he began to reveal, or the Father actually began to reveal, the Son of God, and which we will see in just a moment. But what happened when Paul was converted on the road to Damascus? He began to preach and to teach that Jesus was the Son of God. But in Galatians chapter 2, before we get into that area, it says, and Paul says, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should have run, or should run, or had run in vain. Paul was to preach and to teach and to reveal the Son of God among saved Gentiles. In Acts 11, verse 1, it tells us that the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. The teaching of the Word of God has to do with the revelation of His Son. And the phrase, the Word of God, is a reference to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God reveals the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The Scriptures include the Word of God, and basically speaking, the Word of God has to be revealed to you. And we find that because mysteries need to be revealed. In Acts chapter 9, verse 20, we see Paul preaching the Word of God when he said in verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Who is he doing this to? He was preaching to the Jews. There in the book of Romans, it talks about to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we find that all the way through the book of Acts, Paul going to the synagogue, to the Jew first, and then he included the Gentiles as well. In Romans chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, not to the Jews only, but also to the Gentiles, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. The revelation of the Son of God was offered to those who have been called. What does it mean to be offered to those that have been called? Those that have been called are those who have ears to hear. They are the ones who have eyes to see. And God hasn't given all of His kids ears to hear and eyes to see. But it's not just the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. He is calling a people out for His name. And at one time, the saved Gentiles were not known as His people. Saved Gentiles at one time were not known as beloved. Jews were known as those that were beloved. Jews of the nation of Israel were those that were known as His people. But when Jesus Christ came, He made it possible for Gentiles to be called beloved and His people and have a heavenly inheritance as well. His Son was revealed to the nation of Israel, and we find that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice the circumstances. It had to do with baptism. It had to do with the Lord's baptism. This revelation of from heaven, that "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," is associated with the preaching of the kingdom of the heavens. The revelation of Jesus Christ's Son has to do with the message of the kingdom of the heavens and the rule of the heavens over the earth. The baptism was a time when people repented of their sins and they turned to God so that they might have a heavenly inheritance. This is not a salvation event. If it was a salvation event, then Jesus must have been saved. But that's not salvation. Jesus did not need to be saved. So it was at Jesus' baptism that it was revealed from heaven, or it was presented from heaven, that "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We find this happening in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. "While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him.'" Who was it that was with the Lord Jesus Christ when this happened? It was Peter, James, and John. Where did this take place? It took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. Where were the other apostles? Where were the other disciples? They were down at the bottom of the mountain and were not included in this group of people when Jesus, or when God the Father, made the statement, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God is not a message to all of God's disciples. In fact, it's interesting. The Lord told Peter, James, and John, "Don't you tell them anything that you saw or heard while you were up here on the mountain until after I am raised from the dead." This was private information. For whom? For Peter, James, and John. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, we find Peter responding to the question given by the Lord, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." This truth needs to be revealed, and that truth is what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, the revelation of that truth, it is not common to be revealed to those that are well educated or of high stature. It's interesting, in Luke chapter 10, verses 21 through 24, It says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father. Here is Jesus praying to the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. The wise and the prudent have to do with those that are real smart, those that have been educated. And it's not to say that this hasn't been revealed to those that are smart and that are educated, because it was revealed unto Paul. Paul was an intelligent man, and he was an educated man. He had studied under at the feet of Gamaliel, and so he was an educated man. So when it says, not many wise, not many noble, you know what that means? That includes you and I. You know, not too smart sometimes. You know, smart enough to come in out of the rain, that's all you need, really. Or to cover up real good when you go out in Minnesota to keep from getting frostbitten. But anyway, God has revealed these to babes. Babe is the one who you don't really measure their intelligence, so to speak. And you know they haven't been educated. And they're sort of simple folk. And this seems good to the Father. The Father delights in sharing Himself and His Son with people that haven't got their minds made up. A babe doesn't have his mind made up. The wise and the prudent oftentimes are so well seated in what they believe that God can't really show them much. He continues in verse 22, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. We can't really know the Father without the Son revealing him. And Paul was in the ministry of revealing who Jesus Christ was. He was the Son of God. In fact, the Father is doing that too, because that's what the Lord told Peter. He says, flesh and blood didn't teach this to you. The Father taught it to you. And so, or revealed it to him. And so that's the reason why Peter was able to say what he said. So, private information, because look in verse 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see, present active, the things that ye see. In other words, continually seeing, observing. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, present active, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, present active, and not heard them. Notice that this was private information. Private information to his disciples. And not to all the nation of Israel. Now, in John, we find a relationship between knowing the Son that is revealed by the Father and life for the coming age. In John 6:39 and 40, it says, this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. The reference, all that he hath given me, is a reference to those who have been called and chosen. And it's the called and the chosen that he is going to promote to positions of honor and glory in his coming kingdom. I don't necessarily think that this is a reference to the resurrection. I think it has to do with being raised to positions of prominence and honor in his coming kingdom. And it says in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Now, this is not everyone who sees Jesus, because there's a lot of people seeing Jesus when he was here on the earth. And obviously, you and I don't see him today. Anyone who sees Jesus today instantly stops living by faith. You know what that means? instantly you stop pleasing God. Because if you can't live by faith, you can't please God. So if you've seen Jesus, it's over. And if anybody ever tells you that they have seen Him, you give them a little space, okay? Anyway, I'm just kidding about that. But anyway, seeing the Son has to do with revealing what it means to be a son and the fact that Jesus Christ one day will rule and reign from the heavenlies. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him, that is the Son, esteems age-lasting life. And I will raise him up the last day. If you can comprehend the message or the revelation of Jesus Christ being a Son of God and sitting down at the right hand of God the Father, ruling and reigning from the heavenlies, then we're going to give value to a life of ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom. That's the whole idea of revealing His Son. It's to give us an appreciation of what it means to please God, because Jesus Christ did that, and to be qualified to rule and reign in His coming kingdom. It's interesting what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Oh, by the way, let me finish verse 40. He says, the word have, by the way, is in the present tense, and I believe it would be better translated to esteem, or rather than just having it, having something. Today, well, we know we don't get eternal life until the age to come. I do know that I'm going to live physically for eternity, somewhere. Obviously, I've taken care of living for eternity in the lake of fire because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm not making plans to live here on the earth during the millennium and in the future, because I've responded to the call of unto His kingdom and glory. So I'm planning on, hopefully, it's a hope, to rule and reign with Christ in the heavenlies, to have a heavenly inheritance. So I don't have age-lasting life now, but I will enjoy it in the age to come. Because it says, if I will believe on the Son, and I'm going to esteem life for the age, and it's going to make a difference how I live. And the Lord says, I'll raise him up in the last day. I'll put you in positions of honor and glory in my kingdom in the last day. What is the last day? The millennial reign of Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we need to see that we have been called unto the fellowship of His Son. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that this is a calling. I believe this calling is for those who have ears to hear. I believe the word ye is a reference to verse 1 of this chapter, which addresses those that were sanctified, called saints. And in verse 10, they are referenced as brethren. And we know from passages in Matthew that brethren are those who are seeking to enter the kingdom. That's what the reference of brethren is. These are called, these have been set apart, they are holy. These in Corinth, there were many of them, not all of them were, many of them were seeking to have fellowship with the Father or with the Son and to enter the kingdom, to rule and reign with Christ. Fellowship with the Son is a calling. 1 John tells us about having fellowship with the Father and the Son. If you have a computer and you can do a little research on words, the word "us" in John is an interesting study to do. Just do a word search on "us" in 1 John, And if you want to just read through 1 John, if you don't have a computer, and look at the word us, you're going to find out it's interesting who us is. Who us's are, or what, however you want to put it. Anyway, notice what it says here in 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. With us. And our fellowship is with whom? The Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So whenever you find the word us in 1 John, it's going to be talking about those that are what? That are having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. It's interesting. So the invitation is, we want you to have fellowship with us, because having fellowship with us is going to encourage you to esteem the Son and esteem the Father, and it's going to make a difference in your life. In fact, it's going to help you to be an overcomer. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus Christ was an overcomer, and he is set down at the right hand of the Father. If you want to sit down at the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you want to sit in the throne of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to be overcomers. And to be an overcomer, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and all that goes with believing that. Now, the word born of God, I don't believe, is a reference to being born from above. But this being born of God is a reference to being begotten again by the Father in 1 Peter 1:3. Unto what? Unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if one that is born of God, he is going to... For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And by the way, because the word overcometh is in the present tense, it's something you can stop doing. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, unless we depart from it. And who is he that overcometh? Present act of the world, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. There's an interesting verse in Acts where Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch met in Gaza. And it says, and Philip said, if thou, the Ethiopian eunuch, believest, present active, with all thine heart, thou mayest, that is, be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe, present active, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What is baptism associated with? The kingdom of the heavens. Ruling and reigning with Christ. A heavenly inheritance. What qualified this eunuch to be baptized? Not salvation. Not the common salvation. But believing that Jesus is the Son of God. This is what Paul was to reveal to the Gentiles. The significance of believing in the present tense that Jesus is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he was an overcomer. As the Son of God, he would rule and reign with Christ. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and he was doing it in the present tense. He used the present tense of the verb believe. And so therefore, Philip baptized him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, and this is the commandment, singular in number, that we should believe, present active, on the name of the Son of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. This is part of the singular commandment. Love one another, and what? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The one who was an overcomer, the one who was willing to pray, Abba, Father, not my will, but thine be done. The question is, do we believe in the present tense? 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. And we want the witness of God which is greater, not the witness of men. He that believeth, present active, on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. You know whether you know the doctrine and understand the doctrine pertaining to the Son of God, ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. You have that witness in your own heart and in your own thoughts. You know what you believe about that. If you esteem sonship, then you esteem what Jesus Christ esteemed. Jesus Christ wanted to please the Father, and He did it. And because He did it, He was qualified to sit in the throne of His Father at His right hand. We too, if we esteem the Son as well as the Father, we too will live a life in such a way that we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." By the way, let me just stop here and put this in. It's interesting when the judge was judging these servants, that he did not tell them, "Well done, thou good and faithful sons." They weren't sons yet. When you become a son, you know what? You're no longer a servant. Isn't that neat? "Well done, thou good and faithful servants," because they weren't sons yet. They were going to be sons. Why? Because they were well done, and they were good and faithful, and they produce the fruits thereof. But anyway, I just came across that this morning when I was musing on that. But anyway, he continues in verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son." And what is the record that God gave of His Son? That He was faithful. He did that which pleased the Father. His meat was to do the will of Him that sent Him. And He finished His work. And He ruled, and He is at the right hand of the Father today, and He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God has given us: age-lasting life. Did He give the Son life? Yes, He did. Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And this life is in His Son. If we expect to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, we need to esteem and value who the Son is and what His office means. Verse 12, "And he that hath the Son," or actually, "he that esteemeth the Son," this is present active, "hath life for the age." That's what this is a reference to. Verse 11 tells us, age-lasting life. "And he that esteemeth not the Son of God, esteemeth not life for the age." I didn't put that in there, but it should be, "hath" should be translated, "esteemeth not life for the age." If you don't esteem the Son of God and what all that means, you don't esteem ruling and reigning with Christ. That's of no value to you. And if that's no value to you, then you will not produce the works required to rule and reign. You will not walk a worthy walk. You will not keep yourself from sin and being unclean. So it's so important for us to focus on the Son and who He is and what He did, and the desire to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And by the way, the only way you're going to have fellowship with the Father and the Son is to walk in the light as He is in the light, and to confess your sin. And that's what baptism is associated with: confession of sin, forsaking sin, and dying to self, basically speaking. Now, Continuing in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe," present active. In other words, John is writing to the ones who are having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. "I'm writing to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have life of the age, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God," that you may continue to believe in the present tense, "that you might be an overcomer." Now, 2 John verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 9 gives us a little further insight into the significance of believing in the name of the Son of God, where it says, "Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ." The doctrine of Christ has to do with the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto those that are what? Believing in the present tense. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Because the just shall live by faith. It's the gospel of Christ that reveals faith. Let's continue. It says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ esteemeth not God the Father." This is who this is talking about. If you don't abide in the doctrine, if you're not studying the Word of God and the mysteries of the kingdom, you don't esteem God the Father like you should. It says, "He that abideth," present active, "in the doctrine of Christ," that is the gospel of Christ, "he esteems" whom? "Both the Father and the Son." You remember what Jesus said to his disciples in the 14th chapter of John? He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life of the age. And no man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus reveals the doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ. He revealed it to Paul. He revealed it to Peter. He revealed it to Peter, James, and John. And He is revealing it to those who God has given ears to hear and eyes to see. And if we expect to have fellowship with the Father, we have to go through the Son. Let me just say this. Jesus is the only way to be saved. And Jesus the Son is the only way that we can come to the Father. You don't get saved by accepting the Father as your Savior. You get saved when you believe on the One who died on the cross for you and for me. But coming to the Father is something that you can only do through Jesus Christ the Son, because He is the One who reveals the Father. Now, you need to keep that straight. Keep that in mind, because you can get confused on that. Now, let's close the message with Ephesians chapter 4. When the Lord went home to be with, went to the right hand of the Father, He gave gifts unto men. And in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Who are the saints? They are the called. They're the ones who are having fellowship with the Father and with the Son, I believe. And it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. In other words, we have learned how to please the Father by faith, and of a deeper knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's given teachers to reveal His Son, that we might stand perfect and complete in all His will and hear, well done, now good and faithful servant, and be placed in the position of a son to rule and reign with Christ. Well, what was the will of the Father for Paul? To reveal his son. To whom? To save Gentiles who have been called unto his kingdom and glory. And beloved, I believe every ear in this place has been called unto his kingdom and glory. So don't put yourself down too far. Or don't think that you have not been included, because I believe you have. And one of the reasons why I believe that is you keep coming here. You keep coming here to hear the doctrine of Christ. Why? Because you want to be found pleasing to God when you get home. And that's the way I want to be. I want to be found pleasing to Him. And I want to be the pastor teacher that God would have me to be, so that you'd have a deeper understanding, epinosis of the Son, so that you will esteem the Son and the Father, so that you will behave in the right way. You'll walk a worthy walk. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the message and the thoughts this morning to each of our hearts, that we might stand approved in your presence, that we be not reprobate departing from the faith, but continue to believe in the present tense, knowing that this is the work of God. We pray, Father, that you would help us to help us, Lord, to make adjustments in our life that are not pleasing to you, and confess those things, Father, that would cause us to break fellowship with you, that we might continue to have fellowship with the Father, with you, Father, and with the Son as well. Again, I ask you to bless the message to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.